Welcome in. This is the Wednesday live chat for this week's Houston Open. It's your questions, your concerns, your comments battled with data, logic, reason, tools to see if we can all learn a little bit of something for this week and if we can all have a little bit of fun. Get your questions, concerns, and comments in the chat right now. I was actually just thinking about this. Not next Wednesday, but the Wednesday after, we've got to figure out a scheduling thing. I haven't even mentioned this to Armina yet, but I'm traveling that Tuesday for the Masters. And I guess we could do the Wednesday live chat either really early on Wednesday morning or really late on Wednesday afternoon. But I don't want it keeping me from getting to Augusta National, because that's going to be sick. I can't do it from there, I imagine. Although maybe I can. That would be nasty, but I don't want to rely on that. I think they do have pods that you can go into. Could you imagine a Rick Rungood live stream from Augusta National? But I don't want to rely on that. I don't know. We'll see. We've got to figure out the schedule for next week. Anyway, let's jump right into this. Scott says, does Norin's recent play justify the larger price tag? Okay. Everything that I show you from here on out is probably going to be from my website, rickrungood.com, giant golf database for fantasy and for betting. The larger price tag on Alex Norin this week is about $9,400. If you look at his odds to win this golf tournament, I guess I probably should have had them up over here on the other screen. Let's see if I can get these up real quick. He is 40-1, and let's see what he has been up to. Alex Norin. Okay. I think I like Norin this week. Anytime, although I wish this was a little bit more difficult. This does not seem like the golf course is going to play as difficult as it has in the last couple of years. More on that in just a second. Finishes T9 at the Cognizant, finishes T19 at the Players Championship. He's always pretty good in Florida, though. Let's see what his history is around this place. We are going to Houston. It is good. Finished T4 last year, missed the cut in 2020. And last year being November of 2022, they did not play this in November of 2023 because they were moving it to this event. So the last time this was played, good putting. Let's check out the very accurate driver, although unfortunately, I don't think that's going to be super rewarded this week. Longer irons, not great. Okay, so here's where I'm at on Alex Norin. I like the form. I don't think this year's version of this event is going to be a great spot for him. It would be better. So there was a really good quote that Finau had. I think it was just a little bit ago for his presser. He mentioned that there's like no rough out here. And he mentioned that that's the biggest change from the November version to this version. There's no rough. He said a lot of guys are just going to be hitting driver. There's no penalty for playing out of, or there's no reward for playing out of the fairway. Those were his words. Norin gets rewarded on courses where playing out of the fairway is important. He also gets rewarded on difficult courses where keeping your ball out of penalties and in play is rewarded. Not necessarily the case here. We're hearing about softer conditions for this week, which makes me think that the winning score is going to be deeper under par. These are all things that don't go well for Alex Norin. I think he's playing well. I just don't think that he gets magnified on this golf course. So I'm probably not as excited about this week. Maybe he finishes T25 and then we get back on him later down the road. That would be the idea for me. I could be wrong. He might be playing well enough to overcome all that, but that's the way that I read the situation. RIP the mixer says, hey, Rick, what has Sam Bennett been up to? And the answer is not much to write home about. So he had the run to start or to finish last year. Obviously, we saw him pop up at the Masters. He was like low M for a while. I don't know if he did. He actually win low M? That I can't remember. T16 there. And then he hasn't played particularly well after that. He had an okay finish at the Rocket Mortgage, T29. He's missed more cuts. He's playing on the Korn Ferry Tour. Started his year off with a top 10, and it's been kind of some okay stuff. Nothing great since then. He played the Chili Classic. He finished T61. So what I like about my website, rickrungood.com, is I've got six tours, right? So you're getting the full picture of his PGA Tour, his Korn Ferry Tour stuff. If he was playing on the European Tour, you'd have that as well. I'm sure we'll see some guys, but just not a lot of good play is what it is. Still trying to figure out what it's like to be professional and playing in some of these events more regularly. And we haven't really seen a lot of great stuff from him as of late. Is Knapp too deep for a one and done option if all your still got all your top guys are still available? So I think there's kind of a big four, and then you are able to use whoever you want after that. It's probably a little bit too early for me to get to this, but let's just get to it anyway. This is the tool on Pool Genius, right? So this is based on what I've already used. You go and you sign up for this, and you put in all your information. How big is your pool? Who have you already picked? All that stuff. So this is completely custom to me. You can go get this custom to you. The link is in the description. So I've already used Scottie Scheffler. I've already used Tony Finau. They're two of the big. They're actually not two of the big four. They're Scottie is. Then I think it's Sahith, Wyndham Clark, Will Zalatoris. Those are the big four. After those four, I think you can pick anybody that you want if you're not going to play one of those guys. And you probably shouldn't play Scotty here. You probably shouldn't play Wyndham here, not only because of the back stuff that we heard from him this morning. If you haven't heard yet, Wyndham Clark says he tweaked his back. We'll get to that in a little bit. So you're not going to use Scotty. You're not going to use Wyndham because this purse is too small for them. So are you going to use Will Zalatoris or are you going to use Sahith? Probably not on Will, because I think you could use him at a lot of other events down the road where the difficulty is going to be harder, and then also where the purses are going to be bigger. So it's really, are you going to use Sahith? If you've already used Sahith, anybody else is available to you. I would have no problem if you wanted to use Jake Knapp. I think this is a pretty good spot for him. Are you going to use Sahith? I think the answer is probably yes. If you have him available and it's your only one and done that you have, I think you should probably use him here. I don't think there's going to be a lot of great spots for him moving forward outside of maybe Detroit, which we don't know if he's going to play. I'm not ready to run him out at a major. I'm not ready to run him out at a signature event. So this is probably the spot for Sahith. If you've already used him, then you can go to anybody you want. Jake Knapp would certainly be in that conversation. This tool I love because it takes all of this into consideration. I'm actually using the NCAA Survivor version of this. I use the bracket tool. So we're forming a very good relationship. I do really like the guys over there at Pool Genius and my buddy Tom. I mean, they've been in this for literally 20 years or so. And to hear them talk about how they do the March Madness stuff. And now, you know, you guys know I consulted on the golf tools. Like we are putting together a very good relationship. And I like the way the direction of these tools are going. So check it out. Links in the description. And I think that Jake Knapp is definitely a viable option if you are outside of kind of those other constraints. Michael says, can you explain why Mac Meissner is showing up, is modeling so well? Well, the answer is going to be is a very small sample size, and the sample size that he has is very good. So depending on what you're using to model, are you using 12 rounds, 24 rounds, 36 rounds? I mean, his last eight alone have been spectacular. You know, he was 800-1 at the Valspar, gained 4.5 strokes to the field, and he gained throughout the bag. Puerto Rico, we don't get the strokes gained breakdown, but he had another top 25 there and gained 4 more strokes to the field. Even if you go back 12 rounds, you get into another positive tournament from the Cognizant. So right there, the last 12 rounds have been great and way better than his salary and stuff would indicate. Even if you go back longer than that, but you are a little bit more on ball striking, even if you're a little bit more on putting, the only place he's really struggled is off the tee. So that is why he's modeling so well. And he is decent in club head speed. He's decent on some of the longer trajectory, longer proximities. He is a decent enough like three putt avoidance guy. So like, if you're modeling those things with that small sample, or if you go back just like weighted strokes gained total, he gets a big run from the Korn Ferry. So I mean, it's just a combination of small sample size and when he's played really well, that he's popping up. Keep that in mind. Good afternoon, Rick. Hope all is well. Please tap the thumbs up, everyone. Yeah, Greg also gave me a very good recommendation. I've been getting a lot more into tennis, and Greg gave me a really good recommendation on a tennis YouTube stream where this guy is literally live during like every single tennis match, just live commentating them. It's insane. I mean, he must be doing like 12 hours a day. The dedication that takes is nuts. What's another producer's play of the week? Armina, that's you. She's in the room right now.
Alex Smalley.
She has opted for Alex Smalley. That is not a name. She says, bad recent form, but good course history. She's not kidding. He has missed five straight cuts. He finished 75th at a signature event at Pebble Beach over three rounds where there was no, did they do a two round cut this year? Yeah, they did, because it was a signature event. Missed the cut the Farmers. Yeah, she is absolutely. No, that's okay. You don't, she said, or Sam Ryder. No, you do not get the opportunity to change your pick. And also you have beef with Sam Ryder. So you're not allowed to, unless you're going to bury the hatchet with Sam. But you would have to apologize to him in person, and then you can start picking him.
I refuse.
Yeah, she refuses. So she's going to go with Alex Smalley on this one. I keep looking at outright bets for the Masters, says Chris, non-Scheffler, sure, and keep coming back to Thigala at 60-1. Do you think he's ready for to seriously challenge a win of that magnitude? With all due respect, no. Does Augusta National fit him better than a lot of places? Yes. Also, I'm pretty sure didn't he have a top 10 there last year? Or am I imagining that? No, he finished ninth last year, gained across the board. He's a very good putter. He drives it all over the yard. That's good for Augusta, right? You can hit it anywhere you want there and not find thick rough, not find a ton of super penal stuff. That's okay. His form is getting better and better, but there's a big difference between finishing ninth at a major or ninth at the Masters the year before, having some top 10s at signature events, and actually winning the Masters. If you want to bet Saev to finish top 10 at the Masters, endorse, right? Happy to. Look at all the guys that still haven't been able to close out the Masters, and only one guy gets the green jacket every single year. And he's going to have to run into buzzsaws of John Rahm and Brooks Koepka and Rory and Scotty. And a lot of those guys, the live ones particularly, were not in the fields of these signature events in which he also had top 10. So you add a couple more alphas into those, you start to get a little bit more concerned. So I'm very high on Saev. I'm excited about his future, especially at the Masters. To say this year he's ready to break through, I think is a leap we'd be taking, but I hope it happens. It'd be really cool, but I don't think that's something I'll be rolling with. With a high percentage of approach shots coming from outside of 200 yards and the mindset being to weigh this more heavily, should that not make the case? Should that not be the case as 32-foot make percentage versus 40-feet make percentage is only 1 to 2% difference? Okay, so what Jeffrey is referring to is a combination of this on the key stats page, where the approaches come from, and a combination of this, which is where the birdie opportunities come from. This is a very cool little putting metric that essentially, or it's actually kind of an approach metric as well, where it says, actually, it's more of an approach metric than it is a putting metric. Where do the birdie opportunities come from? Are pins accessible or are they not accessible? And compare that to tour average. So the way that this reads is there are a lot fewer birdie opportunities coming from four to eight feet than tour average. A lot fewer from 4 to 8 feet than, or from 9 to 15 feet than tour average. Then when you start to get out here, 16 to 26 feet and 27 to 36 feet, those are where more of the approaches come from because the birdie opportunities come from, because approaches are coming from farther distances. So guys are not hitting it as close. I'm not sure if I understand Jeffrey's question here. So he's saying, should we not weigh approaches coming from 200 because the make differences are only 1 to 2%. I think what the issue is here, Jeffers, I think you're confusing. Oh, maybe not. So you're saying because the make percentages of golfers are so low from these ranges, should we care? If I understand that correctly, that's up for you to decide. I kind of solve that for you by taking all these golfers' make percentages, how often we expect them to hit it in those spots, this golf course, and give these guys a putting boost. So you'll see that's why Taylor Montgomery, who makes more of those putts, is probably showing up here in the putting boost category. So I think I understand what your question is. And my answer would be, that's up to you to decide. Do you prefer bogey avoidance or three putt avoidance? Probably three putt avoidance. I don't think, after hearing the nature of this event, a little bit softer, a little more driver heavy in March as compared to October and November. I still think that when you've got soft greens and 7,000 square feet on average, you're going to get some 40, 50, 60 footers where the three putt percentage starts to climb on the PGA Tour, that three putt avoidance is probably going to be more important, or at least a way to separate yourself. One and done. I'm in the top 5% of my league. Finau, Day, Siwoo, Mitchell. If you're in the top 5%, you should probably just be rolling out Finau. Can we do a model? Okay. So Philip is asking for a custom model. All right, let's do this then, Philip. Let me see if I can knock this out real quick. Three putt avoidance for 15. So we'll go to putting. Do we have three putt avoidance, or is that under scoring? I'm not sure we have three putt avoidance. Do we? We've got bogey avoidance. I could put three putt avoidance in, but it's not native to the. Oh, we could do, okay. Approach putt is kind of similar, right? Because that says how close are you hitting it on your lag. So we'll do that. Then we'll do strokes gained. So we'll do the proximity buckets for you. So we'll do 10 on 125 to 150. We'll do 10 on 100 to 125. We'll do average distance putt. See, now you're confusing me. I'll just separate these a little bit. Putting from 25 plus for 12, 10 to 15, 12. I'm trying not to miss any of these. Scrambling 20 and green in regulation 10. Scrambling 20. I missed one somewhere. I'll just put 21 on scrambling. So this is Phillips custom model. Scheffler 1, Novak 2, Grayson Sig 3, Alex Noren 4, Finau 5, Horschel 6, Svensson, Damon, Ryder, Hoagie, Jaeger. Isn't it crazy that in a model where you could get Andrew Novak and Grayson Sig inside the top three, Scotty's still number, like it doesn't matter. It just doesn't matter how you split this up. Scotty is the number one player. It's truly crazy. Question here about Tyson Alexander at $5,300. I think the reason Matt is referring to this is because he played well here in the past. Is that the reason? Yeah, he finished runner up here last year, gained throughout the bag. This is where he kind of burst onto the scene a little bit. This is where I think he started to get those non-member points and eventually become a PGA Tour member. The way that I look at this, he's missed three of his last four cuts. His best finish during that stretch was a T16, which is his best finish of the year. His accuracy off the tee and distance off the tee is not super great. He sprays it in both directions equally. He's actually 111th in both left rough and right rough tendency. That's pretty wild. Club head speed, not super great to extract himself from said thin rough. Not great from the deep buckets. Not great at avoiding three putts. He's an okay scrambler. Yeah, I got to admit, I don't know what the positives are here other than the runner up last year. Thoughts on the Cootie brothers since they're from Texas. I don't particularly care if they are from Texas or not, but it is pretty clear to me that Parker has been more than adequate. Okay. You've got a situation where you've asked him to do very little and he has done that, right? He's bid $5,000 or $6,000. He's made the cut. He's got a couple of top 25s. He's playing well enough. Pearson, on the other hand, I don't think he's been playing well enough. We'll double check that right now. Yeah. I mean, WD from Valspar, no idea why. That was after round one. He did make the cut in Puerto Rico. But other than that, it's been all miscuts and WD. So Parker is the one that you want. Hello, mate. Says, hi, Rick. New to the channel. Watching from Aussie. Hey, Aussie, Aussie, Aussie. Oi, oi, oi. Love your content, mate. Cheers. Say again. Yes. Which date range are the rankings on the Holy Grail stats tab? That is this season and last season since the start of 2023. Does Ryan Fox look like a good fit? Well, we'll look at his recent form, but I do like the skill set, right? Basically what we're hearing from Finau, what we're hearing from some of these guys, the bomb and gouge type situation that we might be getting. Why is he losing? Okay, wow, this is really interesting. Why is he losing strokes off the tee? Why is Ryan Fox, one of the best, longest drivers, losing strokes off the tee? The way this kind of appears, and again, shameless plug for rickrungood.com. Look at all the data from the European Tour. Big gainer, big gainer, big gainer, big gainer. Gets to Florida and things go sideways where you cannot hit it anywhere you want. Gained in Mexico. Hit it wherever you want there. This week, hit it wherever you want. So it would be pretty easy to write off those three off the tee losses as just like, yeah, that's what happens to Ryan Fox in Florida. And now we are getting away from Florida. So yeah, I think that this is a pretty decent spot to buy low. He's never more than 2.5% owned. So you should be okay. Rank my punt plays this week. Schmid, Meissner, Cook, Trainer. Schmid, Trainer, Meissner, Cook. While we're here, look at the Matty Schmid stuff. Matty Schmid's been putting well with the long putter. He is long off the tee, great ball striking metrics, was great in Puerto Rico, was great at the Players, was great at Valspar. Matty Schmid, look, I starred him. Look at what Martin Trainer's doing. I don't think this is a great spot for Martin Trainer, but just good finishes kind of all over the globe, different styles of golf courses. I mean, internet. I mean, look at this. Look at this. This profile is an ad for rickrungood.com. Korn Ferry, PGA, Asian Tour in his last three starts, all of them in here. I like that. He's playing well, but I don't think this is like a good course fit for him. I think it's actually better for Matty Schmid. How low would you consider going if you're going to make up ground in a one and done? Any of these, Norin, Jaeger, Hostler, Hughes, Knapp, Damon with a question mark. And that's about as low as I'd be willing to go. It is sick that I get to go to the Masters. Only need one. Goddard, Parker, or Johnny Vegas. It's Parker for me. What do you think the winning score will be? Oh, good question. Well, it's tough because this is kind of different than what we've seen before in condition and in time of year. 22? Is that right? Did we do the weather thing yet? Oh my gosh, I'm such a rookie. No, believe it or not, we didn't do the weather thing yet. That's on me. That is big on me. Let me pull up the weather thing. I wanted to see what Friday looked like because that was where the wind was going to be coming into play. So it still looks to be the case. Is it still Friday afternoon? It is still Friday afternoon. All right. So if you're just listening, here's what we've got. Thursday looks clean. Friday morning looks clean until about 11 a.m. Then you're going to start to see winds kick up from 7 miles an hour to about, yeah, upwards of 20 miles an hour. If this holds, that would be pretty actionable, right? Because there's no rain in the forecast, which could flip the waves. So if this holds, what you probably want to consider is a Thursday afternoon, Friday morning lean stack. That part's up to you. So that would be Thursday PM, Friday morning. What you could conceivably do, so we're still going to use that model that we ran for Billy Bob. Sorry, I don't remember his name. What you could do is you could go on the custom model and say, give me at least 5 guys from the afternoon wave, you know, afternoon wave being PM, AM. And then you could run lineups like that, right? Give me at least 5 guys from PM, AM. And it would start to pump you out lineups in that way. So Scotty is an AM PM guy. So of course he's the one out of five that's not, but you can sort this by salary. PM AM guys at the top of the board, basically everybody but Scotty. Wyndham Clark is a PM. Sahith, Wills Altouris, Finau, Jason Day, Jaeger, Hostler, Rogers. Interesting thing to consider. Two-part question. Are Monday qualifiers always played at the course the PGA is playing that week? And thoughts on Callum McNeil? So as far as I'm aware, they're almost never at that golf course. They're usually off-site somewhere else. Monday, because Monday for PGA Tour, I mean, for that golf course is for the PGA Tour guys. So they're almost always off-site, if not always off-site. I don't have much on Callum McNeil here. I've got two starts on him on the Korn Ferry this year. Last couple weeks, missed the cut in both of them. I don't have any more information on him. Rank for safety and finishing position. Jaeger, Kitayama, Damon Horschel. Jaeger, definitely number one. Then probably I would go Damon, Kitayama, Horschel. That's pretty close, though. 10th out of 100 in my one and done. Already burned some of the top-end talent. Thoughts on Kitayama? I think you guys in the chat are probably a little bit higher on Kurt Kitayama than I am at the moment. Let's pull up his stuff here. I know he's been playing better, but the downtick was really, really bad. T19th, the players, he missed the cut at Bay Hill. He was on a pretty good stretch before that of just making cuts, right? He had that high-end finish in Phoenix, which was a T8. Still very, very much struggling around the greens. I want to look at his stats for the season. He's very long, sneaky long off the tee. He's not a very good putter. This is... I'm lukewarm at best. I think some people are hot on Kurt. I'm lukewarm at best. Okay, so I don't know if we covered this because I kind of got jolted by the internet going out. But the news on Wyndham Clark is that he said he tweaked his back yesterday. So this was from today's presser. He said he tweaked his back yesterday. He said he was, quote, in pretty bad shape yesterday, but he expects to be good to go. He said he has a great team. Here, this is where Patrick McDonald, I'm not going to play the audio, but you're watching it here. So he said, I think he said he threw out his back. I don't know. I think that these guys are usually pretty bad narrators and pretty unreliable, but seems to be okay. I'm treading a little bit cautiously, but it does seem to be okay. Yeah, that's on me, Gavin. That's my bit. I'm in a large one and done, middle of the pack. Finau and Sahith are least available. I'm thinking about using one of them. Okay, I am very much out of whack here. Let's pull up the one and done projected ownership. And also throw this into the conversation as well. Sahith is likely to be your most selected golfer at 22%. Zalatoris, 12%. Wyndham Clark at 10. Those are the only three over 10%. This is jarring to me. I'm not a huge Tony Finau guy this week, but a 5% owned Tony Finau as the defending champion on one of the best courses for him is way too low. Okay. Are you going to save Tony for a major? I'm not. Are you going to save him for a signature event? Maybe. Are you going to play him in Detroit? Yeah, probably. So why not just play him now? That is jarring to me. And I'm not even a huge fan of Tony Finau. I'll pull up his stat profile while I go through the next one, just so you guys can see that. There's a pretty easy case to be made that now that he's out of Florida, this is a lot better situation for him. There's a really good case to be made for that. 550 people left in a large NCAA survivor pool. This is where we're at. I feel everyone will save UConn for the championship in order to be different and not pick them. Would you burn UConn as a pick? So I did go with a little UConn and a little North Carolina in some of my larger survivors. So here's what Pool Genius says. Both of those, North Carolina and UConn, are about middle of the road selections for Thursday, which I'm fine with. I expect, and they expect, Iowa State and Illinois to be the most selected, which makes sense. They're playing against each other. It's a close line and you're not burning anybody for the future. So yes, I would not mind, and I did use UNC and I did use UConn in a few of the like very large ones that I'm playing in. Sorry. Yes, we did finally get to the weather. Can you list your Mount Rushmore of interviews you would like to do at the Masters? Boy, not a big interview guy, but obviously Tiger, which will never happen. I would love to get like a member, right? But they're not going to spill them. The problem is you'd have to also give these guys truth serum because they're never going to say anything interesting, right? So you'd have to get like your Mount Rushmore and a little bit of truth serum. I don't know. I'd have to think about that. Any food plans? Well, I'm going to have to try everything, right? I'm going to have to try the pimento. I'm going to have to try the barbecue sandwich. I'm going to have to try the, what's the ice cream sandwich? Like I'm going to have to try everything and I'll give you my thoughts on all of those. Very, very excited about that. Rick, you skipped over Jaeger. Did I skip over Jaeger? I think that my opinion on Jaeger has not changed much. Jaeger is a very good, underrated player who has really proven to be a good tee to green guy and someone who can finish inside the top 15, especially at some of these weaker field events. That I think Jaeger's profile has not changed. My interest in him has not changed. Hopefully he can putt well. Just doesn't change much. This is correct. The 54-year-old thing. So the way that the way that I've built this is that I use the birthday that the PGA Tour sends to me to calculate age, which is a smart way to do it as long as you're getting accurate data. Sometimes the PGA Tour sends me what is the default date of birth for the internet? 1/1/1970. Right. So Mac Meissner is in here as 1/1/1970, which calculates his age as 54 years old. Right. So I went through a couple of weeks ago and updated all of those manually. But I guess they just added Mac Meissner's default birthday, which is 1/1/70. So that's what's going on there. Any egregiously low chalk? All right. This is wild, but the projected ownership on Scottie Scheffler is 45%. Don't think I've ever said that before. Zalatoris coming in at about 19% would be the pivot in the upper range, although Sahith is at 21%. I do wonder how this will change. We have Wyndham at 30% right now. I think that's going to come down based on the back injury. And that will then be spread out to Sahith and Will Zalatoris in all likelihood. The 9K range is almost completely even. The 8K range gets a pivot on, like, if you like Patrick Rogers or Bo Hosler. I actually think this is a pretty good spot for Bo. He's about half the ownership of Steven Jaeger, almost the half of the ownership of Billy Horschel. The 7K range, a lot of it's going to Matt Hughes and Joel Damon. My favorite pivots would be Ryan Fox and Thorbjørn Olesen. The 6K range, a lot of it's going to Andrew Novak. No surprise there. Anybody else? Bud Cauley. I would be interested in, as scary as it is, Taylor Pendrith at 2.5%, and definitely Matty Schmidt at 6%. And then the 5K range, just a couple of guys, Norlander, Vegas, they're like 2.5%. Nothing crazy. So I don't think you have to worry about any pivots there. What percentage do you think live guys get picked in one and done for the majors? Yeah, a ton. Like John Rahm, the Masters is going to be incredibly highly owned. Brooks Koepka at the US Open and the PGA Championship, incredibly highly owned. Depending on Cam Smith's form, by the time we get to the Open, Cam Smith is going to be very popular. I just think that it's now going to get to the point where the pivot is play two PGA guys during the majors, which stinks because you're leaving. Like, it does feel so necessary to play a live guy at a major. DraftKings has started a birdie or better winner take all on rainmakers. I could not figure out how to sort search the best players for birdies only on the custom model. Oh, okay. I would just do this. So I got to go back to the custom model. So go to the custom model and make sure, let me clear my weights here, and just put 100% of your weights under scoring for birdie or better percent. Or if you want to see birdie or better gained, you could do that. Put 100% of your weights there, sort by value. Those are your best players, right? So you can do that for any stat. My favorite head-to-head matchup is I bet Jake Knapp over Aaron Rye. That's my favorite. This is not good. We have Yannick Sinner at -5 and he's losing right now. That's a tennis bet. Oh, things are getting freaky in tennis. Okay. Oh, now I'm at the part where everything is frozen and now I'm back. Let me continue to scroll. Asking about Tyson Alexander, broke the Wi-Fi. That's right. From the eye test, it seems like people who play with Scotty tend to play terrible every week. Interesting. I would have to look into the data. I don't know if that's true or not. Can we do a deep dive on why you don't listen to music? Yeah, this is the short thing. I don't know. It just doesn't do it for me. Okay. So I've never been externally affected by music. Armin, on the other hand, very externally affected. It can change your mood one way or another. I do not feel that. And then maybe because I do not feel that, I've never been all that interested in it. So now I don't really listen to it. And I usually will either listen to podcasts or nothing in the car. I spend a lot of time listening to nothing. I like the silence. Armina hates silence. She talks all the time. I like to listen to nothing and just be with one with my thoughts. So yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's pretty straight. It's very, very simple to me and makes sense. But when people hear that, they're like, wow, you're probably going to murder somebody. So the Masters, the early Masters stuff, you know, we already talked about Sahith and how that's a pretty good spot for him. I've already made a couple of bets that I'm not sure they're aging particularly well, but like I'm already invested in Justin Thomas, Adam Scott, and Will Zalatoris for the Masters. I think in general, you're going to want to use course history a lot. The guys whose only flaw is that they hit it wild off the tee. Great. Long iron play. Yeah, I mean, that's kind of what we're going to end up going with, but we've named a couple. Some of these questions are definitely duplicates. On good authority, Novak's regular caddy is not here due to a birth of a child. Does that affect your opinion on me? No. And if it would be a positive. Maybe he gets a transitive property baby swag, right? No, I mean, listen, seriously, Novak's been awesome. We gave Novak another shot at the Valspar and he rewarded us with that. He's got four top 17s in his last five starts. Three of those were top 10s. Great bounce back after a bad play at the play, a bad event at the Players. He's playing beautiful golf. And this is what you want to see. You want to see a guy show up after a miscut the Players and shove it. And he did. I love that. Let's do, there was like four questions about Sam Ryder that I skipped over because I feel like we talk about Sam Ryder a lot. I'm not sure we have anything much more to say, but we'll pull him up here. Had one of the best putting performances of his career at the Valspar and still finished T33. You can, you know, the Florida results are always so interesting to me. You have guys that play well there, don't play well, fit their skill set, don't fit their skill set. I'm not super impressed, sorry, Sam, when a Florida guy plays well in Florida. You should have. That's my opinion. What I do like about Sam, and you can see it here, I'll zoom in so you can see it. This chart is just like, you could show me this chart of his skill set and I would have told you this is Sam Ryder, right? Just extremes on great approach, great putting, and losing in the others. And because of this profile, we talk about this all the time. This is a high end, high upside, high risk, high reward profile. And that's what you see in his results. Two missed cuts, then, you know, three really good finishes. Is he going to gain 10 strokes putting every week? No, he's not. But the weeks that he does, he's going to make a little bit of noise. So I think just the nature of him makes him really hard to predict. So my opinion on Sam rarely changes. Wow. My one and done allows you to reuse winners. Holy crap. I've hit back to back with Scotty and I'm in sex. You've earned like $8.5 million with Scotty Scheffler. That's unbelievable. It's not a, well, it's not a one and done. It's a one and done with a star. You should not run Scotty back out here, in my opinion. I would, I think you just, now you just run Scotty back out at the Masters, right? Because you're going to get a smaller field on a course that is highly dependent on long iron play and experience from a guy who's like, nothing he does this week is going to change your opinion about him at the Masters. And you don't push your luck, Josh. Run him out at the Masters. Thoughts on Bobby Mack? He's been playing better. Okay. Should I take your word for it, Tyler, or should we look it up? Let's look it up. He has been playing better. Actually, nice to see he's driving the ball well, because that is something that has really plagued him at times. Coughed it up at the Players, no problem. That's, I mean, this goes back to Mexico. Mexico's a decent little crossover skill set wise. This is okay. I don't know why I said it like that with that high pitch of a voice, but this is okay. I like this. Has he played here? Bobby Mack in Houston, has he played? I don't think so. Yeah, no, he hasn't. Okay, you got me, Tyler. I'm in. I had a question earlier about Henrik Norlander. All right, mate. Let's see what we can find. T15 in T15 in Puerto Rico, T13 in Mexico. Played a Corn Ferry event before that. Doesn't have enough rounds to qualify for stats on this year. Boy, that's kind of a tough sell, isn't it? Has he played in Houston before? I don't know how excited I could get about this. I like the Mexico stuff. He has not played well at Memorial Park. He's missed the cut twice and finished 67th. Now I'm probably out on this. T15 in Mexico is impressive, but not all very impressive. I like this Mexico result. I do not like his history here. And I do not like anything prior to that. And just the lack of professional competitive golf. So I'm going to be like a 3.5 out of 10 on him. No. Is Rick former military communications? I said, say again. Is that what they do? Is that what they, is that, did I unknowingly? Maybe I was like a CIA agent in another life. No. Oh, here's a super chat just because. Thanks, Roguru. Appreciate you. I think I won't dox him, but he emails me. So I know his real name, but I'm not going to say it. Questions about Wyndham Clark's back. We've already talked about that. I am getting some repeats now, which is to be expected considering the fact that the internet went out. Here's my pre-chat question. Which combo do you like better? Siwoo and Springer, Knapp and Griffin, or Knapp and Cam Davis? All right, before I answer that, I want to look at Ben Griffin, and I think it's going to be better than we expect it to be. And I'm hoping that when I click it, I see decent around the green play, a decent short game in general. If that's the case, we're going to go with that. Yeah, this is what we're going to go with. We're going to go with Knapp and Griffin. I think short game's pretty important here, and he has been better on the second shots recently after being pretty miserable. And I think Knapp is probably one of the better course fits that we can get. So I'm going to go with that crew. I would then probably go Siwoo, Springer. No, I guess I'd probably go Knapp, Cam Davis, Siwoo, Springer. It'd be pretty close. I don't think I like Cam Davis this week. Jeffrey said it. I'm not going to say it. He says, stop asking Rick to run models and purchase a Rick Run Good membership. It's worth it. Far and away, the best in the biz. I appreciate that. I get it. But, you know, I'm happy to show off the tools. I like the tools. I like to show them off. Maybe they'll buy. I don't care. Middle of the pack in my one and done. I don't know if I answered this one already. Sahith, Hughes or Day? Well, if you're in the middle of the pack, you probably can't go with Sahith because he's going to be over 20% owned here. I would probably go on Day. Last year, listen to Steve Elkington podcast, who is from Houston, and they said Thigala moved to the area and welcomed him as a new member to Memorial Park. Yeah. Yeah, that's right. He lives in Houston. Is Clark going to WD? I don't know. Says he's ready to go. We did that, which is good. We talked about the one and done ownership. Yeah, we talked about the Hayden Springer bomb last week, right? Hayden Springer is a high upside, can gain you five strokes to the field in a single round type of golfer. Did it played well in Puerto Rico. Had a couple of really good rounds there. Has been playing great golf since Farmers. Made the cut at Valspar and then punted it away with six strokes on to the field on Sunday. But do I need to list the guys that gave it away for a single round last week? Keith Mitchell, Seamus Power, Justin Thomas, Brian Harman, Tony Finau, right? You gave it away for one round at the Valspar. Everybody did. I think Hayden Springer is a very good first round leader option. I think he's a very good showdown option. Fire away. Jason Day, I think, is a little more viable in some places. So let's do this. I wonder if I can do this. So let's do we're going to do it this way. We're going to do Jason Day and all of his good golf courses, right? So let's look for ones that are still on the schedule for this year. Pebble Beach is not. Quail is, right? 20 rounds at Quail, 1.81. Are you going to use them at a signature event? Probably not. Torrey Pines, we're through that. Sawgrass, we're through that. TPC Louisiana, eh. Augusta, good one. TPC River Highlands, Harbor Town. It's gained a stroke or more over all of those. I haven't even gotten to where's Muirfield Village? Right here, 50 rounds, 3/4 of a stroke per round. So I think there's a lot of good spots for Jason Day. I don't care if you want to use him here. I think he's pretty good here as well. But if you don't, there are a lot of good spots left for Jason Day. I don't know if there's a lot of good spots left for Tony Finau. Maybe there are. The ones that popped in my head are Twin Cities, right? We talked about that. We don't know if he's going to play that. We're through Torrey. We're through the stadium, Pete Dye Stadium course. We're not going to get Summerlin. Colonial. Are you going to play him at Muirfield Village or are you going to play him at Augusta National? We're through Riviera. Again, are you going to play him at Quail Hollow? So I don't know. We might be through all the good spots for Tony Finau. I don't even know what, I just would love to know what this means. It's just says cookie is low key fire. What does that even mean? I would love to know what cookie is low key fire. Rick, forgive me for being off topic here, but could you give a few options that we know are in the field for next week for one and done? I'm going on a cruise and want to get my pick in before. We don't know the official field until Friday at 5. So, if you assume that a lot of this field is going to be in the field for next week, which I don't know how much of an assumption, a good assumption that is, we'll do TPC San Antonio for everybody in this field. I would consider, Siwoo. If we get Siwoo, you'll know Friday at 5. Siwoo would be a pretty good one. Billy Horschel might be interesting. Finau, if he's in the field, although playing this many weeks in a row before the Masters might not happen for him. Bo Hostler would probably be a pretty good one. Again, it's tough to say without knowing definitively who's in the field, but I meant to be sharing my screen there. I was just scrolling through the course horses. Is it possible to make a custom model that is A, somewhat relevant, and B, Scotty's not in first? No. Trainer in. Who are the best scramblers in the field? A lot of different ways to look at this, but since you just asked a very specific question, I'm going to give you a very specific answer. So I'm just going to put 100% of my weights on scrambling. And I'm going to tell you it's Trace Crowe, Thorbjørn Olesen, Aaron Baddeley, Martin Trainer, Taylor Montgomery, Ben Griffin. Good luck. Can you talk about Ball Apex for this week and does it matter? So Ball Apex is always kind of important, but it's more important on firmer golf courses. So guys on firm golf courses who can hit it long and high can get it to land softly. There are a couple ways to stop golf balls where you want them to. One is spin. The other is trajectory. If friction doesn't exist on firm, fast courses, or if you're hitting a lot of long irons, spin might not be an option. So trajectory becomes your other option. But this week, where all indications are that it's going to be playing a little bit softer, I'm not sure it's as important. Always nice to have in your back pocket. I just don't think it's super critical this week because I think they're pretty soft. Do you have a sim in your house? Yes. So this question is for Armina. If Rick doesn't listen to music, will he let you dance with others or does he dance?
Well, of course he lets me dance with whoever I want.
I don't know if you can hear her. She said, well, of course he lets me dance with whoever I want.
But if he tried to tell me not to.
I would still do whatever I want.
Yeah, he dances.
First off, the way you glanced over the fact that I dance, I dance very well and a lot. Like when we go to weddings, I'm the belle of the ball.
You are the belle of the ball, especially after a couple drinks.
Couple drinks, I'm the belle of the ball, and we've been taking ballroom dancing classes. Chez Deep Dive, yeah, sure. The Reevester, I don't know why I keep doing that. I keep getting rid of my custom model page to go to the golfer profile page. Oh, Cookie. Okay. Good news for Reevee. We are starting to see that high-end approach play come back. That's the one thing, the one thing that's been able to like keep him relevant for as long as it has. He is miserable off the tee because he hits it very short. That's going to be a problem here. He is shockingly not bad from some of the longer proximities. Three putts a lot. Losing putting this year. Has gained with the putter in three straight. You know, you got to make a couple of assumptions here, but I see where you're going with this. A historically good approach player and a historically good putter is coming out of a putting slump. He still has deficiencies for this golf course, but only one deficiency instead of having like three. So I get where we're trying to marry these two things together. I get that. Interesting. Real quick before I forget, the splash contest for this week continues to be guaranteed. If you notice, I'll just add another entry here. So you pick one golfer from each of six tiers. And I love that now the tiers are a lot bigger. I love this. So it used to be like four or five guys or five or six guys. The tiers are a lot bigger now. So now there's like 12 guys in each tier, right? And you can put these, you know, and then when you get to the fourth tier, or I'm sorry, when you get to the sixth tier, I'm just randomly clicking names. It's everyone else in the field. I love this. This is so much better of a format. So we're going to continue with this. And they've been nice enough to continue to guarantee these. The link is in the description. You can go sign up for this right now and get your picks in. Also, we are doing something for Masters that's going to be like guaranteed, which will be good. I'm excited for that. I will also encourage you to go sign up for my newsletter, rickrungood.com/newsletter. Okay. This is this week's newsletter. It's very good. It's 100% free. Go sign up for the Pool Genius tool. And I will say, go sign up and get your deposit bonus on Underdog as we enter the Underdog portion of the show.
Woof, woof.
All right. Here's the thing that I think Underdog is missing for this week. This golf course is going to play easier. So last year, the front nine played to about a 35.
I think it's going to probably play to at least a 34 and a half this year. And the back nine played to about a 35 and a half. The back nine was more difficult. I think it probably plays to like a 35. So if you think this plays about a stroke easier, you take a half stroke off the front, half stroke off the back. The hook for Wyndham Clark here is critical. And the other thing is, if we do get a Wyndham Clark, anything that's not like Wyndham Clark is being priced as a lead end Wyndham Clark. So I think higher 33.5 on one through nine. So that's holes 1 through 9 strokes for Wyndham Clark. Higher than that is the side that I'm going on. It is also worth noting he is starting on the front. Okay, this is very tactical. If there is any level of discomfort, it's going to be as early as possible in his round before he kind of gets used to his new feels. We're going higher on his 33.5, 1 through 9. Higher on Tony Finau to hit fairways here. That surprised me as well. But I went back and looked at what he's done last year, what he's done leading up to this. If it is going to be softer, you're going to be able to hit more fairways. I went over 8. He has just demolished fairways at this place. Sahith, under. Lower than 8. This is a place that's going to allow him to just do whatever he wants off the tee and not even think about hitting anything but driver. And he does not hit a lot of fairways, and it's not even going to impact him. Okay? So all that's fine. These three together are a 6.5x or a 6.05x return. 100 returns 605. A couple of the other ones, you know, I was just kind of looking through all these options here. The birdies seem low to me. A lot of the guys are sitting at like 3.5 birdies per round. And actually it looks like, hold on, let me refresh this. It looks like they might be refreshing their lines right now. Or I lost them when the internet went out. Yeah. So here we go. A lot of them are posting these 3.5 birdies. I think guys are going to smoke this. I mean, Jaeger and Bo Hostler. And you got to pay a little bit because you're stacking on the same side, but I think they have the wrong side of these birdie ones here. I think they're playing 2023 birdies when they should be playing 2024 birdies. Go get your picks in now. The other thing is, and I've not told anybody this yet, but the major championship drafts, the best ball drafts, where you pick major, where you draft teams for the four major championships, $10 entry, $50,000 to first. I'm going to do a live draft marathon for this. I've not told anybody this yet, but I'm telling you right now for the first time. It is going to be on Saturday, April 6th. So the Saturday before Masters Week, I'm going to spend probably 2 hours or more live drafting teams. And we are just going to do as many as we possibly can. Might be 50. I don't know. We're going to do as many as we possibly can. And we're going to talk through exposures and who's in the field and best routes to go and all that fun stuff. That's what we're going to do. And I'm very excited about it. If you want to go start drafting right now, highly encourage it. The code is Rick. There's a link in the description. Go get your deposit bonus. Okay. Get back into these questions here. Underdog's doing a great thing in the industry right now. Okay. Let me find where I was. I was right here. We did Ches Reavy. Hey, Rick, any method to the golfer you put on the thumbnail? The last two missed the cut. Is it random or someone you're generally high on for the week? Armina makes all the thumbnails. You should not glean any information from me about who I like from the thumbnails. I think she just picks one of the top five names in the field or like somebody she knows about or whatever. So that I would not, they're completely random and I do not even know who they are until I tweet them out. This one just says, what's up, Rick? Hey, Say Again is used by ATC and pilots. Okay. I did not know that. Very, very good. I'm running Knapp and Hughes on all three of my lineups. You know, we didn't really talk about Mac Hughes, someone that I have definitely warmed on over the course of the week. And over the course of the last couple of weeks, honestly, his stat profile is not one that I would typically fall in love with, because he's a little bit reliant on the short game. He does hit it well at times. It's kind of all over the place. It's hard to understand what version of Mac Hughes you're going to get, but the fact is he's just piled up top 30s this year. And this is going to be one of the weaker fields that he plays in. Yeah, like I'm here for Mac Hughes this week. How confusing will it be if both cooties are in the same group? I don't know. Not confusing at all for me. Rick, show off your model. Pick the highest placing Indian national this week on DP World Tour. Okay. So go to the custom model. Drop down to Hero Indian Open. Now, what I would do here is I would weigh pretty heavily weighted strokes gain total. Because when you start getting to the DP World Tour, even though I do have like strokes gain metrics and all that stuff, not every event is measured, just like the PGA Tour. So we've got to get everybody a baseline, and I got to go pretty big on this. So we got to go 50 on weighted strokes gained total. Then what I would do is I would, again, I'm trying to stick with things that everybody has. So maybe like, you know, 20 on birdie or better. You can see not everybody has that. I would then go fantasy points gained for 20. And then we put our last 10 on strokes gain distribution, four or more. And we would find that our number one golfer is Yannick Paul. So congratulations to Yannick Paul, who will win this event. Jordan L. Smith, Ewan Ferguson, Grant Forrest, Nicholas Norgard Moeller, Marcus Heilkilde, Sebastian Soderberg, Juice Luton, Callum Hill, Aaron Cockerell are your top 10. I'm going to lose this sinner bet. Unless I guess, I'm guessing now I want this to go three sets. If he wins this one 6-4, which he just did. Oh, I guess not. I need a beat down in the second set. Outside of being on the sacred grounds of Augusta, what are you looking forward to the most about the Masters? Seeing everybody, seeing Rahm and Koepka and Rory and Scotty all in the same spot is very, very exciting. I want to see the merch. I want to see the food. I want to see the clubhouse. I want to see the media center. I want to walk the golf course in order as soon as I get there. I want to walk it backwards right after I'm done with that. I want to go look where famous shots have happened. Side of 16 for Tiger. And like, I just want to go see that stuff. I don't know what else. I mean, it's going to be sick. I'm obviously stoked about it. What is the record for consecutive wins on tour? Didn't Sam Snead win like, maybe it wasn't Sam Snead, maybe it was Ben Hogan, like 11. It's something outrageous. It's 11 or something like that. I love the Rick Rungood site. I love the YouTube videos. I don't think it gets better than this. I hope we all win lots of money, and thank you so much. Yeah, could not have said it any better myself, Robbie, so that's probably a good place to put a pin in it. Go check out rickrungood.com. Go check out everything you guys need in the description. We will rock and roll for this week. We'll rock and roll for next week. The Masters is going to be here. Chef's kiss time of year. Best of luck. I'll talk to you guys soon.